Anda bersama SBS Bahasa Indonesia.
Siluman ular putih menyamar sebagai manusia dan turun ke bumi. Kemudian ia jatuh cinta pada seorang laki-laki dan cintanya terbalas. Mereka pun menjadi sepasang suami istri. Sepanjang kisah kasih mereka, berbagai aral rintangan muncul, termasuk terungkapnya jati diri sang siluman yang sebelumnya dirahasiakan bahkan dari suaminya sendiri. Begitulah legenda siluman ular putih yang konon mulai diceritakan sekitar 1000 tahun lalu di Cina. Legenda ini sangat terkenal bahkan di Indonesia, di mana serial televisi yang mengadaptasi kisah ini sempat disiarkan di tahun 2000-an. Maka, meskipun hewan ular sering dikaitkan dengan kejahatan atau mara bahaya di berbagai cerita rakyat, dalam kisah ini justru dikaitkan dengan hal yang romantis. Chinese Museum di kota Melbourne tengah memamerkan seri lukisan balok kayu atau woodblock yang menceritakan legenda ini sebagai bagian dari perayaan Tahun Baru Cina 2025 bertemakan Tahun Ular. Lukisan-lukisan tersebut berasal dari Yang Yuqing, Tianjin. Teknik melukis khas seperti ini mulai muncul di era dinasti Ming, yang berjaya dari tahun 1368 hingga 1644 Masehi. Direktur Eksekutif Chinese Museum Mark Wang menyatakan bahwa seri lukisan ular putih merupakan bagian dari koleksi museum tersebut, bersama dengan berbagai foto dan artefak tentang kebudayaan khas Cina, terutama komunitas Cina di Australia. Lokasi museum ini di tengah kawasan pecinan Melbourne pun terbilang unik. Karena menurut Mark, pecinan Melbourne adalah pecinan tertua di dunia barat. Dan pecinan ini tidak pernah bergeser atau tergusur lokasinya dari tengah kota sejak beratus tahun lalu. Meskipun komunitas migran dari Cina tidak luput dari diskriminasi dan rasisme.
So when people came from the Gold Rush to Melbourne, Chinatown was set up by the clans people to host those people who came, give them their provisions to go off to the goldfields. And these buildings are still owned by the same clans today. It's still the Nampunsu building. This is a temple upstairs.
So you're saying this is the oldest Chinatown in the world?
In the Western world, not in China.
In Melbourne?
In the whole America, anywhere. The funny thing about this Chinatown, it's one block from the city centre, but it's still been able to survive in its original location. Never got moved. And the people who live in Chinatown, descendants of Chinese people, still, and the associations and communities still own their own buildings. We have a community here that has been staying in Chinatown in this single spot. There's no Chinatowns anywhere outside Asia that are like this Chinatown.
Mark bercerita bahwa beratus tahun lalu, para penambang emas dari China yang datang ke Victoria untuk mengadu nasib, cara kerjanya jauh lebih efisien dibanding penambang Eropa. Di tahun 1855, dikenakan pajak khusus oleh negara bagian Victoria yang dikenal sebagai poll tax. Akibatnya banyak yang putar haluan ke Australia Selatan, meskipun jarak ke tambang-tambang emas menjadi sangat jauh akibatnya.
When the goldfields were formed, everybody who migrated here for gold, Western people were individual miners. They just came here as, you know, with a friend and they came here to mine. When Chinese came here, they came here as organized groups of people. They were indentured laborers. They actually had people in China saying, would you like to go to the goldfields? You can work for us. We'll pay your passage to Australia. And you can pay us back. They even went over the past diggings of Western miners and could find more gold in where they were. So efficient in what they did, basically. When I said the first racist law was in 1855, when the Chinese people were coming, the first racist law in Victoria was called the poll tax. They charged them £10 to get off the ship. So they just walked around the robe and had to walk back 500 kilometres. Robe is in South Australia, not a port. And then by 1901, after all this anti-Chinese sentiment, you know, they wanted to establish this white Australia, the white man's land. And so these are the kinds of things that Chinese community had to face, and that's, you know, anti-Chinese sentiment in newspapers. In 1901, the white Australia policy, the immigration policy, 1901, was one of the first laws that passed in the formation of the Commonwealth of Australia Federation. One of the first laws was the White Australia Policy, which is the Immigration Act 1901. And that's when the Chinese population dwindled down from about 40,000 down to about 12,000 over the course of 40 years. Yeah, there are racist people today, yes, and you could pick out all of the negative sides of what we do, but then there's the positive side. You have to show both sides.
Selain itu, pecinan ini juga selama beberapa puluh tahun terakhir dimeriahkan oleh parade atau prosesi naga raksasa yang bahkan menurut Mark sudah jarang diadakan di China sendiri.
When you go to China, they don't do it anymore. I say to Chinese people, have you seen a dragon go down the middle of Shanghai? They say no.
Really?
They have dancing dragons, which are not, these are processional dragons, they're quite different. The dancing dragons have these people underneath.
Selama berpuluh tahun sudah beberapa kali naga raksasa yang digunakan diganti dan beberapa kepala naga yang digunakan sepanjang sejarah perayaan di Melbourne juga bisa dilihat di museum ini. Untuk tahun 2025, parade atau prosesi naga raksasa akan dilangsungkan hari Minggu, tanggal 2 Februari. Dina Indra Safitri melaporkan untuk SBS Australia, siaran bahasa Indonesia.
Anda ingin mendengar cerita-cerita seperti ini? Dengarkan di Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, atau dimanapun Anda mendapatkan podcast Anda.